Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
watching an atom absorb light. So what people are shown at school is a central nucleus and electrons in these tight race tracks, and what happens is God comes along and lifts an electron from one racetrack to the other, and then God puts a big squiggly line. So this happens in an instant, and then the squiggly line happens in an instant, and you're told, you mightn't understand this, but if you can produce this in a test, you'll get marks. And if you don't understand and can't produce it in a test, you won't get marks. So basically people are getting marked and scored on social compliance and lack of inquiring mind. We are filtering people out, a race of uninquiring people. That being said, let's start to take this apart and say, what if I could show you an atom absorbing and emitting light? Well, the answer is yes, I can show you. I've simulated it, drawn it out. It's quite easy to see. The only reason it is that it is like shocking news. It's sort of like, I don't know, you're arranging American Independence Day celebration, everyone's all happy, and you uncover a document proving it's all a fraud, you're just going to be shot in the head. And so if this basically shows what you've been taught at school is a fraud. And the simple thing is that what is the strength? We have a problem that if I have a proton, a nucleus, and I have electrons orbiting in a circle, they will radiate. How do we solve that? They will produce radio waves pretty much like a radio with two antenna, orthogonal antenna, and it will, the electric field will be going to these two antennas as the electron moves around and producing radio waves. How do we stop a electron accelerating in a circle radiating out energy? Now, the answer is not in physics, because there is no way that it can not do it, because simply, all the internet, all electronics, everything which has got radio waves in it, anything produces light, everything is produced from it. So there's no logical way of doing it. There is no experimental way that I can do it. The only way I can do it is by a papal decree. That is, using the same type of theory to say a religious belief, make a postulate, a religious postulate, that it doesn't. So the answer for it is Niels Bohr, over 100 years ago, said it doesn't. And it's been good enough for me, it's been good enough for your dad and your grandfather and your grandparents, sorry for the sexist aspect of it. So just shut up and just write what I've said. Okay, or you can have quantum mechanics, which by all means has never been proven wrong, has produced all electronics, all solid-state physics, and produce model every spectra known. There is no spectra, nothing has been proved against it. So we've got something on our left hand corner, we've got something which is wrong and is only supported by a social system of belief, or you have something which is enormously successful, which is quantum mechanics. Okay, so I've vented my spleen here. Oh, it's hot walking here, I better collapse in the heat. Okay, so there's that aspect to get across. So essentially, how do I have a proton and an electron on the outside for which it doesn't orbit? Well, firstly, the electron is much bigger than the proton, just by the, again, by nature of quantum mechanics. Also, the electron and the proton exists in different symmetries of space and therefore can actually slide through each other. That is, your proton, it's not a question of the electron falling into the proton, it has. The electron, so in the old school way, is shut up, it doesn't. And in quantum physics, yes, it has already. The proton has already fallen into the center of a huge electron. Now, the electron, looking at it, has no motion. So, the problem with electron is a fundamental particle. It's fundamental, it has no parts on it. There's no part of an electron. I can draw an electron, render it is, and so I can, in my drawing, I can look at parts of my drawing, but down to it, I can't actually get a dab of paint small enough, more fundamental than a proton, than an electron, to actually put a dab of paint on. So what you have is your first electron is a Gaussian, e to the minus r squared, in all directions, density, so it goes off. So electron, how big is your electron? Well, 50% of it's the Bohr radius. But is there a point in space, in the universe, where the electron isn't? And the answer to that is no. The electrons expand across the entire universe to a vanishingly small number, but a vanishingly small number is not zero. Not in mathematics. Maybe, oh, I don't know. The people who exist in the world beyond mathematics, just get out of my science room. Go on. Yeah, close the door. Oh, and here's this hammer to hit yourself in the head. Okay, so we've got this thing. Now, is it moving? Well, it's not moving, but it has the properties of position. It has the properties of existence. It's got the property of spin, charge, but it's also got the property of momentum. And that is that I can write broad general conservation. So this is something which doesn't exist in the way that we know it, but it does in bulk obey laws. So I can write the laws that it obeys, and actually think of an alternative way in which it can actually do it. So it's sort of like someone comes up with the bylaws and reads the bylaws, and they've got a street side cafe. You say, oh, no, you can't do it that way. The proton and electron do reality by ticking all the boxes of obeying the basic laws of physics, but do it in a way that we cannot imagine. We can see that we can't give them a ticket for breaking a law, so they do have momentum. Now, the momentum is a spatial derivative. So the del, which is a spatial derivative, is the momentum. So basically, the Schrodinger wave equation is that the kinetic energy plus the potential energy is total energy. That is the Schrodinger wave equation. Or another way of the Schrodinger wave equation is that the squiggliness of the wave function is proportional to the energy deficit. Squiggliness is another way of saying, squiggliness is quantum mechanics' way of saying, I've got momentum, but I'm not moving. It's sort of like this ultimate couch potato. It's a way, it's smarter than you and me, it's worked a way to do its work without moving. It can have the properties of moving without moving, which is rather good, because it's part of being really small. If you're really small, you can't actually do things. So, it's actual derivative of it. And one way you can interpret it is that where the proton is, so where the electron is really ramping up from not being to being, so it's maximum being in the center of the atom and minimum being going out, where it's actually got the maximum gradient, that gradient is the maximum momentum. And because of the direction of the gradient, you could actually say the electron is moving, it is continuously falling in on itself. It is so there's no flow, but it's like a freeze-framed static picture of so there's no part. Well, this is some parts of the electrons. Electrons, what can you say? Physically locked in space. They are frozen. They are not moving. However, you can picture a cartoon of something running and say, oh, that looks like running. So the actual curvature or crinkliness is equal to the actual equivalent to speed of an electron. Now, oh, they're certainly making a fair amount of noise up here, Australia Day type of stuff. Okay, the other way that something can run is d psi dt, the wave function is a function of time. And the way that we've split up the wave function is that this is a phase. So you can have motion, equivalent analog of motion to actual the phase of it. That is a complex phase. Oh. Oh God, I'm coming out. It's my wedding anniversary and I'm going to this Emu Hall, and they've certainly got the music blaring out of it. So it'll be no doubt the wrong thing to do. Going out there. Now, I asked my wife to come for a walk and she said, oh, it's too hot. I've got things to do. There you go. So it is too hot and I've got recovery to do. But let's get back into it. So I've got two things which I can identify with motion. So the one thing I can't do is I can't say motion as we know it. That is, an electron does not have a little bit and it doesn't orbit around. An electron is in an orbit, but it doesn't orbit. An electron is a spin, but it doesn't rotate. You know, all these things. So how does an electron appear to move? And I can look at an electron and actually dice it up and put node functions through it, make it more squiggly, it will look as though it's got more motion in it. Even though it will be stationary, it will look as though it will have more motion in it. But furthermore, I can say that electron has I just hope it's not that noisy when we go to eat. I don't know whether we're able to get in. They've certainly made a big thing. This is insane. Okay, so what I can look at, I can look at a atom, and I can have electron states in it, and I can transition from one state to another by saying that it is transitioning, but then managing the phase. And so what happens is that if I've got an atom, I can look at it and I can change its rotation so its phase is stationary. Then I can look at the next state that I want to move to it, and I can gradually morph to that next state, wavelength by wavelength, moving forward, and it will just re-squish and pinch in. And when it's purely the second state, it will be purely, you'll be able to see the nodal line. But in between, the nodal line will start to suggest itself, and in between, it will actually start to appear to pulsate. Now, when you say appear to pulsate, you can put the phase, which you cannot see spatially as colour. on top of it, and I might attach this YouTube of it, and so you can actually see an electron absorb light and pulsate with the frequency of light and keep that frequency inside of it as it moves from one state to another. Yet the electron itself will not move, it just changes shape, and it's the phase, complex phase pulsing through it, mirrors the actual change in energy. Now that frequency is not a set frequency. It can be, you can get changed from one state to another and then drop down to a third one at a much higher frequency. So what you do is that you can actually remove a frequency, so it's, everything's not flashing so quickly. You can slow down the flash of one and see the flash or the phase going through it. So essentially what you do is that for visualizing a wave function, you can visualize it not as a cloud but as an object with no surface, no inside, no outside, and you can superimpose upon it a color to represent the phase. So this is for me quite interesting in terms of that people with ignorance, essentially with ignorance, do not know how to actually caress the imagination policy. Now the interesting thing is that electrons aren't coloured, so because they're not coloured, it gives you the use of colour to put on the phase, and so essentially you can actually for a atom you can actually put the phase information of that electron in as a colour on the surface of it all. Let's see, there's a massive Australia Day celebration. I don't know whether they've set up or it's just melted in the heat up here, so I don't know what will happen in the evening coming up here. So the big question is, what is the alternative to that classroom teacher drawing a dot and something going in and then getting something on a string and whirling about your head and saying therefore something is a bit more complex, and complexity of being able to imagine it, you need certain things to be cleared off. That is the picture that you're imagining, but it is not. So you're using a picture that it looks three-dimensional, it looks solid thing, but it's not. You can't imagine phase, but I do have a palette of imagination tools I can use. And g'day. So the end result will allow, I think it's going to be a big thing in the evening up here. There's no people in the tents just yet, so I think they've done it's going to be a huge thing down here. It might be a big walking pattern before we can get here. For all it's saying, you've got this beautiful peaceful atom which you can show, and you're the only people hearing it. I will include the YouTube, hopefully YouTube, that you can look at this just for the S state going to a P state. But there's a whole series of things which then therefore happen. You don't have a jump, you have a gentle pulsating, and if it doesn't work, it then just spits it, says if it fails to get there, it then just spits it out again. And it's basically an atom which is positive and negative charges will respond to an electric field. Will respond very quickly. But if the electric field hits a resonance in it, it can store the resonance energy in it and take energy away from the field. and if it can actually go up into a different way of oscillation, it can actually absorb. Now, at all stages, the electron is functionally stationary. There is no, I suppose there is actual mass of the electron is moving further away from the nucleus, but the process of it is the electron is changing shape. So there's a physical thing that you can see happening. So you can see physical motion of the different wave functions as it's going through, but what's happening is it just smoothly changes from one shape to the other with the electric field phase pulsing through it, and in that case it itself is not radiating like all shit. It is actually just absorbing, as we know, one single frequency of radiation, and that radiation is gone in and stored as energy inside it. It's not a magical thing. So look, I honestly feel that I don't know, it's a combination of the bully's way of explaining things plus the ignorance of confidence going in here. So I've tried to explain it. I'll keep on doing podcasts on this and get the explanation of this good over time. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.